南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経。Hi friends, thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. I hope this finds you in good health and secure. Chapter 17. And we continue this meatiest of instructions for the Lotus Bodhisattva, for you and I, Bodhisattvas, from beneath the Saha world, the future. If we perform as Shakyamuni has been teaching us for the last few chapters, there will be changes that we can expect in our minds, in our lives, in our experience of life. Chapter 17, Numeration of Merits. Not all of them, but here's some things you can consider and maybe actually look for, because the nature of altering our stream of action, right, our momentum of being, is that when we alter, when we make changes in our epistemology, we're so instantly incorporating those changes into our reality, our experience of life, that quite often, unless there's major shifts, they just go right by. And human beings, it's like, my goodness, aren't you aware of all of the tremendous opportunity and privilege of life that you have? And I'm not talking politics and social dramas. I'm being alive, savoring the preciousness of life. Oh no, we'll just, more please, right? We'll just keep going. And so here's some Shakyamuni's annotations, if you will, on what you can look forward to incorporating into your life as you practice in this way. At that time, when the great congregation heard the Buddha proclaim that such were the number of kalpas and the length of his lifetime, not his lifetime, the Tathagata lifetime, innumerable countless living beings awakened realization and obtained great benefit. Then the world-honored one said to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Maitreya, you still paying attention there, Maitreya? Ajita, which is kind of his nickname, yeah. While I proclaim the duration of the Tathagata's life, 6,800,000 kotas of nayutas of living beings, numerous as the sands of the Ganges, have attained to the assurance of their non-rebirth. Now, I don't know why he chooses the term non-rebirth as specific. Of course, this is a translation, but you can see that what he means by non-rebirth is escape from the cycle of birth and death, yeah, nirvana. So I may reinvestigate that language and see if I can't state that more clearly, right? So, yeah, put that right there. Again, 1,000 times more bodhisattva mahasattvas have attained the dharani power of hearing and keeping the law. Again, bodhisattva mahasattvas, numerous as the atoms of a world, have attained the faculty of eloquent and unembarrassed discussion. Well, how is it unembarrassed? You can see that, because this still is an affliction of today, right? When we start practicing, or even if we practice for a while, the thought of bringing this teaching into another person's mind if we're not solid with it, if we don't clearly, which is my whole mission in this whole resource, the videos, the podcast, the website, the books, my whole mission is to demystify this stuff so you don't feel embarrassed when you start using these words, because there's shitty words in here, right? So I'm trying to extricate that confusing, mystical, magical language, because it doesn't belong in this teaching, and replace it with logic, reasoning. That's what Buddhism is about, yeah? So there's no reason to be embarrassed unless, and we live in a world of incredible sensitivity. Are you better than me? Are you saying I'm stupid? Right? People are so overly sensitive, critical. They want to take sides immediately. No. If you're stupid, then how am I any smarter if I'm endeavoring to show you, share something with you, teach you? Oh, gosh, don't use that word. Right? This is the world we live in today. So as I often say, I'm sharing some things with you, offering them up with vulnerability, saying, how do you see this? What do you think of this line of reasoning? And I'm not asking you to argue with me, because people will see that as an invitation to argue. Look, this is why you only want to endeavor to lead somebody toward their own path of enlightenment if you know them. And we've read that a lot in the Lotus Sutra. You should have enough powers of discernment from your own practice to understand how you need to present information to others so that they willingly are interested in it. You never want to set it up as a debate until, you know, you're so comfortable in the teachings that you go ahead, hit me up. I got an answer for anything you ask me. And I won't make it up. I'll take it right from Shakyamuni or Nichiren, because it's voluminous. The answers are obvious. But no doubt, even all of these well-versed, well-studied monks, Dhanani power, what is that? The gift of communication, right? Skillful means, able to put together sentences with words that are interesting, cultivating, not minefields. Oh, when you say da-da-da, what do you mean? You know, no. Calm down, right? It's like being a bit of a babysitter, a parent. It's not easy to be a parent. So they had this problem 3,000 years ago, so it's not new. Again, 1,000 times more bodhisattva mahasattvas have attained the dharani power of hearing and keeping the law. Again, bodhisattva mahasattvas, numerous as the atoms of the world, have attained the faculty of eloquent and unembarrassed discussion. Again, bodhisattva mahasattvas, numerous as the atoms of a world, have attained to hundreds of thousands of myriad kotas of the dharani of infinite revolutions. Interesting footnote on that. Again, bodhisattva mahasattvas, numerous as the atoms of a 3,000 greatfold, thousandfold world, have been enabled to roll forward the never retreating law wheel. All these are saying the same thing with different words, right? Kind of a lesson about the lesson. Again, Bodhisattva Mahasattva's numerous as the atoms of a middle 2,000-fold domain have been enabled to roll forward the pure law wheel. This is a greater and greater number, right? Again, Bodhisattva Mahasattva's numerous as the atoms of a small 1,000-fold domain after 8 rebirths will attain perfect enlightenment. What is 8 rebirths? Should we investigate that a little bit better? Because that language, that's old language. The way it's stated here is questionable. So let me investigate that for you. I will tell you right now, though, that 8 rebirths just means 8 moments. What is a moment? I'll tell you what, I talk about, you know, the new version. I put out this book, which is the original book, Buddhism Reference. And then I went on to go a little deeper into the lingo and the terminologies. And as we were reading, you know, different translations, a lot of stuff came up. And I thought, well, I need to add to it. And then, and I don't have it here, I released a Buddhism Reference Volume 1 and 2, which I kind of put this in the background now, the first volume. And it is the combination of both with additional terms that didn't make it into these. So, yeah. I apologize for that. That's just the nature of writing books, especially reference books. If I wanted to, I could probably create a library. But it is essential, in my thought anyway, and I think it was for Nichiren, that we understand the meaning of, 50 years, or was it, 50 years of scholarship from Shakyamuni, especially teaching to the capacity of the people that were his audience over time. There were going to be a lot of terms and words that were going to be in the sermons, in the teachings, that evolve constantly over time. And when we get to the cumulative knowledge of the Lotus Sutra, many of these terms and words have completely evolved into other meanings, more profound meanings, by the time we get to the late Mahayana and the Lotus Sutra. And so many scholars who do translations of all of these teachings, by the time they get to the Lotus Sutra, have so inculcated the early meanings of words that they're having trouble translating to the merits of the Lotus Sutra, because they're still trying to fit earlier conceptions into the Lotus, and they think they're doing a consistency thing, like an academic would, but they're really breaking the evolution of the teaching, and they don't understand. So I just wanted to read really quickly in the first volume, if you have it, moment. I have moment, moment to moment, and momentum, but we're just going to look at moment on 129. 'What is a moment?' Get that question all the time, right? What is a moment? So I won't read the whole thing, but just to point out, in 1899, long time ago, Max Planck introduced what became later known as the Planck constant. He had constant numbers, representation of things in numbers, for the minimal quantization of lengths, measurements, weights, size, and time. And so when we look at this chart here, there's a chart in the book. I'm trying to make this so you can see it. Everything's in reverse on this. Anyway, there's this chart here. And there's 4 Planck measurements here for length, mass, time, and temperature. And time is the one we're concerned with. and the value of the smallest period of time, which I argue is a moment, is 5.391, etc., times 10 to the negative 44 of a second. So a second is defined, and you can look this up on your own, but a second is defined in the in a period of it's not spin. There's a particular atom of, and I believe it's a radioactive metal, that, let's call it a vibration. And that vibration happens in a cycle, okay? I don't think I have it in this. I probably have it under second. Do I have a second? See, this is what I mean about rabbit holes. Anyway, you can look that up on YouTube, see wonderful videos about it. A second defined as some astronomical number, 9 trillion, zillion, whatever, decimal point, 9, whatever it is. Or no decimal point. 9, it's trillions of times that this atom fluctuates before it accomplishes a particular shift, a particular whatever it is. And that is a second. I mean, we're talking huge numbers here, right? Just like Buddhism. And so that being a second, which happens in a second, then you divide that by a unit of measure that is 0.43 zeros, 5391247, so on. It's unfathomable how you press your fingers together as hard as you can, and there's still space between them and smaller than that. That's a moment. Now, why am I taking the time to talk about this? Because 3,000 realms in a single thought moment. So even a small and tiny, unfathomably small length of time, portion of a second, is a moment. 3,000 realms of possibility are all exchanging potential with each other to influence, to manifest, to instantiate into the realm of form, the form of a thought, the form of an action. That's karma. The way, the equation, which is happening so rapidly that you can't consciously make it, is the force of that freight train of karma with its tendencies and conditions, yes? So a lot of people, even in early Buddhism, thought of this freight train of karma as destiny. You can't alter that. There is no free will. There is this thing is pummeling you forward, and you have the illusion of deciding and choice. You're just plummeting through an incredible rate of speed the life that your karmic amalgam is experiencing. Good luck with that. And then finally, the teachings evolved to the point where Shakyamuni says, hold on, remember the whole point of this exercise of Buddhism? Remember that Buddhism is about getting a clue as to what's going on here, not so you could just sit back and go, oh, crap, I can't do anything about it, and just have another thing to worry and have anxiety and stress about. No. The whole point of this is that by having a clue, you can now interact with that freight train and massage it into more life-affirming, more tendencies of joy, tendencies of realizing moment to moment the amazing preciousness of what is your momentum. Because what's keeping you tunneled in this freight train of karma is that you're constantly looking at what it did. So, of course, the next moment is only going to repeat. You go through cycles in your life. Why do I always seem to do this? Why do I always meet people like this? Why am I always... Because you're emulating your past. You got to unglue yourself from that and start paying attention to not only what's happening, that's great, that's where we want to be. Myoho, namu myoho, but we need the renge. We need that aha moment that says, oh, I can influence that. I don't have to keep going there. I can actually choose a different course of response, call response, right? To take action towards something unfamiliar. How do I do that? How do I know where that is? Namo myoho renge kyo. Awaken your Buddha mind, because that Buddha mind sees the momentum without the constraints of the freight train of karma. That ninth consciousness sees the cosmos of karma, and it can influence your 3,000 realms, all eight consciousnesses, right? The eighth consciousness is the freight train. The seventh is the one that converts it into, I think I know. And the sixth one, by then, that's the caboose. It's just collecting what's left behind. You're already in the past. And the skandhas, come on. The skandhas, the five aggregates, right? All right. So when this says eight rebirths, it's not talking about afterlife and reincarnations. It's talking about the cycle of birth and death. Moment to moment to moment to moment. That quickly attain enlightenment, right? Just like the... Naga King's daughter, the eight-year-old. Again, Bodhisattva Master. Now, is that a merit? That would be the merit, wouldn't it? Again, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, numerous as the atoms of the three, four continent worlds after three births will attain perfect enlightenment. In three moments. Again, Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, numerous as the atoms of two, four continent worlds after two births will attain perfect enlightenment. Again, Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, numerous as the atoms of one four continent world after one birth will attain perfect enlightenment. Again, living beings, numerous as the atoms of eight worlds have all aspired to complete and perfect enlightenment. Enlightenment. Right? Namo myoho renge kyo. That's the renge. The aha. The now I get it. It's been here all along. Duh. When the Buddha had told of those Bodhisattva Mahasattvas obtaining such great benefits of the law, From the sky there rained down mandaravas flowers, mahamandara flowers, scattering over an innumerable hundreds of thousands of myriads of Kodas of Buddhas on lion thrones below the jeweled trees. That's everybody. Scattering also over Shakyamuni Buddha and the long extinct abundant treasures Tathagata seated on the lion throne in the stupa of the precious seven jewels, the treasure tower, the mandala, and also scattering over all the great bodhisattvas and hosts of the four groups, it also rained incense of fine sandalwood, aloes, and so forth. Renge. In the sky, the heavenly drums resounded of themselves with exquisite deep resonance. There rained down also thousands of kinds of celestial garments, and in every direction there hung down necklaces, jewel necklaces, mani crystal necklaces, and felicitous jewel necklaces. In other words, that brilliant, shiny, aha moment, incomparable, right? Envisaged through all of these valuable objects. Censers, a vessel for burning incense, of many jewels, burning priceless incense, moved everywhere on their own. It's kind of a Disney film, right? Accord to pay homage to the great congregation, over each Buddha, bodhisattvas held canopies, one above another, right up to the Brahma heaven. All these bodhisattvas with exquisite voices chanted countless praise chants extolling the Buddhas. Thereupon Maitreya Bodhisattva rose from his seat and humbly bared his right shoulder, folded his hands toward the Buddha. And spoke thus in verse. The Buddha has taught the rare law never heard by us before. It's not that he didn't try, but they never heard it. Great is the power of the world-honored one and his lifetime beyond estimation. Well, his lifetime? The Tathagata lifetime that he is embodying, right? Beyond estimation. Numberless Buddha sons, hearing the world-honored one in detail, tell of those who obtained the law benefit, have been filled with joy. Well, that's been the point all along. Glad you're paying attention. Some are steadfast in the never-retreating stage. Some have attained to the dharanis, expedient words and phrases. They've gotten better and more confident about the teachings, yes? Some to unembarrassed eloquence or to controlling myriads of kodas of revolutions. Revolutions being the internal revolutions, right? There are bodhisattvas numerous as the atoms of a great thousandfold world, each of them able to roll the unretreating law wheel. There's no going back after you have this aha. And bodhisattvas numerous as the atoms of a middle thousandfold world, each of them able to roll the unsullied law wheel, and bodhisattvas numerous as the atoms of a small thousandfold world, each of whom, after 8 rebirths, will accomplish the Buddha way, 8 moments. Again, there are bodhisattvas numerous as the atoms of 4, 3, 2 worlds of 4 continents like this, who will become Buddhas after those numbers of rebirths. We need to get rid of this rebirth thing. We're going to. Right? Where's one of them? Or bodhisattvas numerous as the atoms of 1 4-continent world who after one more birth will accomplish perfect knowledge. Such living beings as these, hearing the duration of the Buddha's life, will obtain infinite, perfect, and pure reward. In other words, they will conceive of Tathagata-ness. That it's not just our buddy Siddhartha who found something unique. It's everywhere, all the time, always has been, and built into you. Oh, this isn't unique to Shakyamuni. He's trying to lift us all to the same level he has attained, because there is no difference. Oh, Renge, this is up to me. All those permissions we asked for in the previous chapters, please predict this for us. You don't need his prediction. You just need to do it. Oh, I think it's finally sinking in, yes? And we're stubborn. Such living beings as these, hearing the duration of the Buddha's life, will obtain infinite, perfect, and pure reward. The reward body, yes? Also, there are the living, numerous as the atoms of eight worlds, who, hearing the Buddha's announcement of this lifetime, have all aspired to the supreme truth. I have a magic disappearing pencil. Woo! How amazing is that? The world-honored one of teaching the infinite and inconceivable law has benefited many boundlessly as space. Again, this one-to-one relationship between Myoho Renge Kyo and all the cosmos. Time is a construct of the mind. I know that one's tough. Just think timelessness without beginning or end. It's just an experience of. Okay? Transcendent Mandarava flowers rain down, and Maha Mandaravas, big ones. Chakras and Brahmas, numerous as sands of the Ganges, from countless Buddha lands have come. Buddha lands again, remember? That's the mind, perceiving everything anew, not as possessions, not as quantification, not as data, not as identity. Infinite. Raining sandal and aloes, which fall blended and commingled. Like birds flying below the sky, they reverently bestrew the Buddhas. The celestial drums in space roll forth of themselves their wondrous sounds. A thousand myriad kinds of transcendent robes whirl around in their descent. Exquisite bejeweled censers, burning priceless incense, move all around of their own accord in homage to the world-honored ones. This isn't a description, as I alluded to earlier, of a Disney cartoon where all these wonderful things descend from the sky. This is an experience of an enlightened experience, perspective, perception of the cosmos, of this land, of your backyard, of your lover, of everything. In this moment, moment to moment to moment to moment, everything happening, being, is like this. It is illuminating. So much is it illuminating that you might be tempted to call it enlightenment. Exquisite bejeweled censers burning these wonderful incense, hosts of great bodhisattvas holding canopies of precious seven jewels of wondrous height and of myriad of kodas of varieties, one above another up to the Brahma heaven, before each one of the Buddhas, jeweled streamers hang fluttering, also with thousands of myriads of stanzas, they celebrate the Tathagata's song. What a wonderful visual. What is the Tathagata's song? Think. Is it not the cosmos? Is it not everything in the universe is the song of the Tathagata, the engine of life? Hmm? Making a note, I'm going to add that in there. I'm excited about this book. Such a variety of things as these we have never known before. We've always been attached to accrual and possession and identity. We never considered that moment to moment it can be everything. And everything is new, each single moment, influenced by tendencies and conditions. Tendencies we can alter, we can affect, we can influence, we can nudge. But the most important isn't that we can nudge tendencies, is that we can focus on fully expressing the magnificence of all of it. There's no stress in that. You ever done anything in your life that felt like it just flowed out of you? I remember when I was a teenager, I didn't have a lot of friends, but a lot of people noticed I would draw like birds for, usually girls wanted birds, but sometimes guys would ask for things, but people were fascinated at my ability to draw, just black and white drawings. And for me, it was like easier than brushing teeth. It was just something I did. And I came up with this theory. I said, you know what? Because people would give me all this praise, and I never felt worthy of it, right? Or worthy. It seemed like an unnecessary fawning, right? Because it was so easy for me. And then it occurred to me, I thought, you know what? Everybody has talents, quote unquote. But I think that they go undiscovered for a long time, because that seems to be a repetitive theme in stories, yeah? I think that talent is the thing we all do, and if you're really fortunate, several things, like a polymath, that we all do, that seem to take very little effort for us to do, but for others is a challenge beyond their comprehension. And because it's a challenge for them, they're awed by it. But because it's not a challenge for us, we discount it. And it's like we have to be told over and over again by others how special it is for us to finally go, well, maybe there's something to this. Maybe this is something I ought to be doing regularly. I should be looking into subsisting from doing this. Right? This is the Saha world I'm talking about, yeah. It's materialistic, but it's a thought provocation that sometimes the most important aspect of our tendencies and conditions we don't value. So in the scope of Buddhism, what your Buddha mind does is it doesn't value things like that with all the complexities of dramas, of ego and value and society judgments and it just looks upon it and go, isn't that amazing? No strings attached, no borders. That's Buddha land. To be able to excel at what you excel at. No obstructions. Does that make it more interesting? Maybe. The world honored one by teaching the infinite and inconceivable law has benefited many boundlessly as space. That's what that means, right? Such a variety of things as these have never been known before. Known, but they were always there. Hearing the Buddha's lifetime is infinite, all beings are gladdened. Buddhas, it's the Tathagata, right? The Buddha's fame throughout the universe, all beings, widely refreshes the roots of goodness of all living beings, aiding their desire for supreme truth. Well, there it is. That's our aspiration to the complete and perfect enlightenment, isn't it? Thereupon, the Buddha addressed Maitreya Bodhisattva Mahasattva. And he said, Ajita, those living beings who have heard that the lifetime of the Tathagata is of such long duration and have been able to receive But one thought of resolve and discernment in the merits they will obtain are beyond limit and measure. Suppose there be a good son or good daughter who, for the sake of perfect enlightenment during 800,000 kotas of nayutas of kalpas, practices the five of the six paramitas. Why the five of the six? I'm not sure. And then I list the paramitas, right? The dana paramita, the sila paramita, the ksanti paramita, the virya paramita, and the dhyana paramita. Prajna paramita being accepted. Okay, the wisdom sutras, right? These merits compared with the above-mentioned merits are not equal to even a hundredth part, the thousandth part, or one part of a hundred thousandth merit codus of it. Indeed, neither numbers nor comparisons can make it known. If any good son or good daughter possesses such merit as this, there is no such thing as failing, to obtain perfect enlightenment. You're just there. Thereupon the world-honored one, desiring to proclaim this teaching over again, spoke thus in verse. And with that, I'm going to leave the verse portion of this to the next video. Anticipation. Who can say that the Lotus Sutra is not an instructional manual for a Lotus Bodhisattva of this Mapo period, this era? Is it not obvious? Perhaps not to an academician who's convinced themselves of a history of religions and looks upon this as some kind of a magical tool. It is not. This is about the function of the mind, attitude and intent, attitude and intent. How to align your thinking. How to recognize its influence, its own influences, let alone environmental influences, because they're all reflections of our own freight train anyway. This perception is unique to an individual that practices, because Namo Myoho-renge-kyo, every morning and evening, as much as you can, opens that gateway of the mind to perceive this. Without that, it's just all words. And then those words become manipulated by what you think you know instead of what you can possibly know. Yeah. Lankavatara Sutra goes a long way to nailing that down. Look, I appreciate very much your listening, your support, from liking and subscribing to purchasing ebooks or mandala, the bookstore, all the free information on threefoldlotus.com and the podcast. All the links are in the description. Please make use of this resource. Solidify your confidence. Keep your practice strong. Take care of your health. I'll see you in the next one, okay? Bye for now.